Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, September 19th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent woman who says lives are being put at risk because nothing is being done about potholes in roads around Ashford. We'll also bring you an update on a brown bear living in a Kent zoo who last week had to go for an MRI scan. But first, taking a look at our top story today, there's concern some historic buildings in part of Ashford are being knocked down to make way for a new film studio. Oliver Leonard has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. He joins me now. Oliver, can you tell me a little bit about the scheme and the buildings being demolished?
Hi, Kate. Well, this multi-million pound development is part of an ambitious scheme to transform the 12-acre site at the Newtown Railway Works in Ashford into four film studios and more than 300 homes. Contractors have started to knock down a series of lean-to structures connected to abandoned engine sheds at the site.
And why are residents upset?
Well, now demolition work has actually started at the site. Residents are particularly upset about some of the historic buildings which are being knocked down. People believe the lean-to buildings, which were previously a blacksmith's, boiler shop and tender shop, should have been saved. But bosses behind the development have stressed that they have permission to flatten these buildings.
And why did council approve the plans in the first place?
Planning permission for the whole scheme was approved in April 2020, before finally being signed off last September. The council and developers believe that the development will ensure the railway heritage is recognised while transforming the site, which has laid dormant for more than three decades.
Thanks, Oliver.
Kent Online News.
A man has died after getting into difficulty while swimming in Ramsgate. Emergency services were called to Ramsgate Beach yesterday afternoon, where the swimmer was pulled from the water by the RNLI. He was passed into the care of paramedics but died at the scene. Five people have been charged as part of an investigation into a suspected drugs network in East Kent. Police searched eight locations in Dover, Deal, Ramsgate, Chartham and Dymchurch last Thursday. They seized drugs, cash and weapons. Three men and two teenagers were charged with conspiring to supply class drugs. A woman has avoided jail after her dog attacked a man at an industrial park near Canterbury. Lee Stiles was bitten on both legs in Hursden last October. He had to have surgery and stayed in hospital for 3 days. 54-year-old Svenja Fexi, who lives in Bramling Road in Bramling, admitted to being in charge of the dog at the time. She's been ordered to pay £1,000 and must keep the dog muzzled and on a lead at all times when in public. There are fears burglars in Sevenoaks are posing as police officers. Two men were seen in the Kippington Road area last week wearing clothes similar to that of officers. They're also being linked to attempted car thefts.
Kent Online News.
A video showing a serial shoplifter kicking, spitting on and hitting a co-op worker in Faversham has been viewed hundreds of thousands of times online. 34-year-old Lucille Willett from Fostal Road was apprehended by employees and later arrested but avoided jail. We've shared the video on our socials at KMFM News. Meanwhile, as new data shows shoplifting increased by almost 20% last year, Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner is working with local businesses to help reduce it. Matthew Scott met with business owners, town centre managers and police who all agreed shoplifting was becoming more blatant and that staff were often being threatened. He's now encouraging retailers to sign up to their local My Community Voice scheme, which puts staff in direct contact with their local police team. A charity has warned there's still a high number of bailiffs being used by councils in Kent to collect unpaid tax or parking fines. Figures show Medway used them the most in the last year, with 17,000 cases sent to debt collectors. The Money Advice Trust says they should only be used as a last resort. Now, a bungalow owner in Laddingford is demanding his insurance company take urgent action after waiting 2 years to have a garden landslip fixed. Former police officer Steve Hand says his grandchildren can't play in the back garden. He's also got no chance of selling his property. Steve says the problem began when his neighbour started to clean out a large pond.
2 years ago, during the summer, round about July, my neighbour decided to dredge their pond that my land runs alongside. The very weekend that they put a tractor in there and dredged out a lot of silt, my land collapsed along its entire length and sank down about 6 inches by 12 foot wide through my brand new patio and out through to the drive. Now, the person responsible has admitted liability immediately and contacted his insurers, that's the NFU. They took months and months before they finally said to me verbally that they would get my garden back to what it was. I've had to put in several complaints to them because they've been so slow. They never responded to any emails I sent. I tried phone calls and messages were left and never responded to. We're now at the end of the second year, and all we've got to now is there are contractors willing to do the work, but they're not sure exactly how to do the work. And I've now got the NFU telling me they're going to find somebody at some point to come along and do a report on how to do the work. But we're now getting to the end of the window of opportunity of when that work can be done, because the pond at the moment is at its lowest. But obviously going into September, October, November, we get sufficient rainfall, that pond will fill up again. We'll miss this window of opportunity and it will go into the third year next year.
An NFU spokesperson has said with more complex claims, insurers may need to undertake a number of surveys and other measures in order to agree on an approach before work on the damage begins. They say they've previously explained to Mr. Han that they are working to progress the complex repairs, and they've apologised for not providing him a consistent level of communication.
Kent Online News.
The Kent Online podcast has been told there's been a steady drop in the number of businesses closing in Kent. Figures show just over 1,500 shut in the second quarter of this year. That's down from 2,500 at the start of 2022. Tudor Price is the chief executive of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
Well, the data encouraging me is actually showing there's been a decline in the number of business closures over the last few quarters now. So certainly over the last 12, 18 months, the number of businesses that are closing each quarter is actually declining. So that's a positive. There are obvious trends in that analysis. When you start to look at when those closures sort of peak, if you like, it's after Christmas, it's after the summer holidays, it's after Easter holidays. And that really echoes what we're hearing from the ground, if you like, across the county with the businesses we're talking to, is that those that are involved in direct consumer spend, so coffee shops, retail outlets, you know, tourism and hospitality, those are obviously peak times. You know, a lot of retailers rely on Christmas, and of course they get the other side of Christmas. It didn't prove to be as lucrative as they'd hoped, and of course they then can't sustain themselves through the sort of lean months. And so yeah, we tend to see those closures sort of spike a little bit at those times of the year, but overall the trend is actually positive. You know, we are seeing fewer closures, so it's not all sort of doom and gloom.
That must be a good thing for you to hear, because the cost of living crisis is something that's been on everybody's minds, and particularly for business owners, for quite a long time now. And it has been tough conditions for them, hasn't it?
It has, really. And this comes back to that sort of discretionary consumer spend. And I think not all of the sort of business sectors are sort of going to take heart from this particular piece of evidence. What we're finding is that if you are still reliant on direct consumer spend, then it is still incredibly tough. And all the time that people feel that they have to sort of watch the pennies, they're not going to sort of go out and spend as lavishly as they might have done in the past. That against the backdrop of the wider sort of business community, professional services, manufacturing and so forth, you know, they are actually doing pretty well. Exports are slowly starting to recover. We are, of course, waiting for the budget in October. You know, that will then make a big difference to business confidence and to whether a lot of the big projects will go forward. So that then in turn may translate into optimism amongst the businesses, which then means the staff then and the employees feel more secure in their future, and hopefully will then start to spend a bit more money with those retailers and those hospitality companies that are out there.
While we're still seeing, you know, businesses closing, are we seeing new businesses setting up? Are people still taking that leap?
Yes, absolutely. So correspondingly, there is a growth in the number of business startups. But again, you sort of look at the detail of the data here. And what we're seeing is that these are a lot of small and micro startups, sometimes as a second income. So they're not actually sort of the sort of high growth or medium sized businesses that the economy sort of really yearns for at the moment. So again, those figures sort of need to be taken with a pinch of salt. We are still overall, I think, waiting for some sort of signal from government as to what the future landscape is going to look like. There was a lot of optimism post election. the Rose Garden conference, the Rachel Reeves speech has sort of caused a bit of concern. Everyone's waiting now for the October budget. Once we're that side of things, I suspect we'll see how things are going to unroll. But I would predict that things will start to recover quicker.
He's been speaking ahead of Labor's first budget next month. The Chancellor is being encouraged to give firms stability. It comes as TGI Fridays has gone into administration, putting their site at Bluewater at risk. The company is in the process of trying to sell the restaurant to new owners, which it hopes to complete by the end of September, as well as one of their sites in Kent. TGI's have 87 other sites across the UK, meaning thousands of jobs could be lost.
Kent Online News.
Parents have spoken out after children were left upset and confused over the Medway test. Pupils sat the exam on Tuesday, but many were expecting to have 50 minutes rather than 30 for their English test. Medway Council are looking into the issue, but say the 30-minute time was correct. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told lives are being put at risk by the number of potholes in roads and pavements around Ashford. Newtown Road and Cudworth Road have been singled out as being particularly bad. Margaret Pike lives in the South Willsborough part of town and needs a mobility scooter to get around. She's been speaking to reporter Leanne Castle.
I think it's a problem throughout Ashford, the whole of Ashford. But I mean, for local people like the people in Newtown and like myself in South Willsborough, we've got enormous great potholes down Cudworth Road. And the footpaths in one area you can't get by even if you had to, because you've got a telegraph pole stuck right in the middle. And then on dustbin day, you've got to manoeuvre dustbins to get round. So it is difficult. And because people like myself that have got mobility scooters are getting damaged scooters because of the potholes. I have to use the road now because this scooter is bigger than the one I had before, and therefore it doesn't fit the footpath at all. I can't get on the footpath very well in Cudworth Road because I'd have to come off to manipulate the telegraph pole that's stuck halfway in. Things like that.
And tell me about Newtown Road in particular. What's it with this one that you would like to suggest?
I haven't actually used Newtown Road since I've had this new scooter of mine. I use the outlet. I come down Cudworth Road, which is on a par with this one, in very bad condition. I said, and then round through the Riverwalk, which also needs attendance because it's got brambles growing over the side, so a cyclist, if he's not careful, could lose an eye. And then I go up the slope, through the Asda car park, and up through the outlet and come out here, and then I'm away, I'm happy.
So is the reason you don't use this road because of all the holes?
Yes.
And describe to me, when you go over the potholes in your scooter, what does it feel like?
Well, this one is pretty well balanced, but the smaller ones that haven't got so much suspension, it is jump and bump. And I've already damaged my back from my little one that I used to have. This one, I don't feel them quite so much. It's just like going over a small hillock. But for the smaller scooters, it is very, very painful on the spine. Very painful.
And you know quite a big community of scooter users, don't you? What's the feeling among everybody else?
Well, most of the other scooter people that I'm friendly with have all said the same. The roads and the footpaths are disgusting. The politicians come round, they want us to vote for them, but when we want anything done, where are they? They're never around.
Newtown Road has only recently reopened after a 7-week closure to lay electrical cables, but residents complain the potholes weren't fixed at the same time. It's also close to where those film studios are being built. The company behind that project said it was working closely with Kent Highways to create two entrances to the site and the inclusion of a pedestrian crossing to improve road safety to Ellison Way. They go on to say, as part of these works, we will also be resurfacing this area of the road. And finally have added, we are currently working through the final details and section 278 agreements, and we are hoping to commence these road improvements prior to Christmas. We've also been in touch with the County Council, who've confirmed the area is due to be resurfaced. In the meantime, minor repairs are being arranged.
Kent Online News.
A county-wide restriction on the movement of farm animals has been brought in after a rise in cases of blue tongue. The viral disease was found in cows in Canterbury in November before spreading to the Sandwich Bay area in December and then later to Faversham. A temporary control zone now covers the whole of Kent to reduce the risk of it spreading further. There have been calls to remove a new statue of a woman submerged in the River Stour in Canterbury. The public artwork has been called creepy and disturbing. It's been installed near the historic Westgate Towers. Critics say it's offensive and the imagery of a submerged figure reminiscent of a drowning victim is both morbid and utterly tone-deaf given the tragic drownings that occur along our coastlines. However, council say as a piece of art, it's meant to be thought-provoking. Gold coins that were found in a field in Kent have sold for more than £100,000 at auction. The hoard was discovered by a metal detectorist in Lenham 2 years ago and date back to 55 BC. They were expected to fetch £20,000 but were sold for five times that with a final bid of £103,500. And there's an update today on a brown bear living in Kent who's been suffering seizures. Last week we told you about Bocky, who had to be sent for an MRI scan. The results show he has fluid on the brain and medication is no longer keeping the symptoms at bay. John Ford is from the Wildwood Trust near Canterbury where Bocky lives.
We actually transported Bocky via van to Noel Fitzpatrick's centre and he underwent an MRI scan. And the results from that came back that he actually is suffering from something called hydrocephalus, which is a build-up of fluid on the brain. Unfortunately, we're not entirely certain still what is the cause of that. We obviously will keep working to find out and we'll do our absolute best by him. But there is a surgery that Bocky can actually undergo. So he can have a shunt put in that will lead from his brain down into his stomach and it will actually alleviate the fluid that's building up on his brain. This is a very, very rare thing. So this has only ever happened that we know of. It's only ever happened to one other bear in history. That bear was operated on successfully by a specialist. His name is Romain Pizzi, so specialist international zoo vet. And he has actually, he's volunteered to actually come to Wildwood and he's going to help us and he's going to perform that surgery on Bocky himself, which is absolutely amazing. So I say, you know, it's only happened once in history and we've been unbelievably lucky to be able to get the vet who performed that operation before is going to come here and do it again. So that's the best news. That's the best possible result we can get for Bocky. Since the first sedation of Bocky and where we collected bloods and samples and we ran all our tests, we then put him onto medication, which actually quite successfully for quite a long time, it actually controlled his seizures. And we saw just some very slight trembling or we saw nothing at all, which was brilliant. Unfortunately, recently in say the last 2 or 3 weeks or so, we've just noticed he's just succumbing a bit more to seizures again. So we haven't seen any fall, but there's a lot of shaking going on. And we're just not sure that medication is able to cope with what's happening to him any longer. So that's why we've actually opted to go for the surgery and try a proper fix.
Kent Online Sports.
Adam Peaty sent a message to a Kent swimming club after their pool suddenly closed. Folkestone Sports Centre shut at the start of the summer holidays when the charity running it said they could no longer afford to keep it operational. It's been suggested the site is put up for sale, but the Olympian hopes it reopens.
I was saddened to hear the closure of the Folkestone Sports Centre and the loss of the swimming pool to the hundreds of swimmers throughout the area. As the Olympics this summer demonstrated, swimming is a sport that can inspire millions. If it wasn't for the local swimming pools across the country, none of us in Team GB would have been able to fulfill our dream. It is the opportunities at the beginning that produces the results at the end. Swimming is a sport that provides for your mental and physical well-being, as well as being a vital skill in keeping people of all ages safe in the water. It is a sport that is enjoyed by every generation, and to see a pool close in a coastal town is especially saddening. I hope that you can join me in supporting the fight to reopen Folkestone Sports Centre and ensuring that future generations gain the opportunities they deserve.
More than 150 people lost their jobs. And briefly to tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu was back in action in the Korea Open later. The 21-year-old from Orpington is taking on China's Yu Yuan in the last 16. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.